Good morning. We would like to welcome you this morning to the preaching service of the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. But before we get into our message this morning, we would like to ask that you, along with our members, be in prayer for our country and for its healing. Not only the physical healing of those who have been afflicted with this sickness, but for the spiritual healing of many. Many that hear the word preached, that they might come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are able to call you our Father. We're thankful that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that this morning you would bless the preaching of your word. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that many who are sick through this virus, that you would be pleased to heal, that you would be pleased to stay this. But most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we pray that many might be healed spiritually, that they might come to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith in Him. Bless your word this morning, dear Heavenly Father, as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we take our Bibles this morning and turn in the book of Matthew and chapter 8. This morning we'll be dealing with verses 14 through 17. Let's begin by reading, beginning with verse 14. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he, his wife's mother, laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. In this eighth chapter of the book of Matthew, as we've been working through it, we've made mention of the fact that this was just after that our Lord Jesus Christ had delivered his sermon on the Mount. And he'd come down out of the mountain, and the whole multitude were amazed, because as he spoke as one having authority. As one having authority as a judge over his jurisdiction. We find him then immediately proceeding on to heal a leper that came to him. An incurable disease. Right after that, we find him healing by proxy a centurion, a Roman soldier, a Greek, a Gentile soldier, whose servant child lay sick with a palsy. He healed him by proxy. Now we come to this woman who is taken with a fever. We want to notice this morning, first of all, we want to notice the accounting. From verse 14, it was Peter's mother-in-law was sick of a fever. And the circumstance here doesn't seem to be anything special in this circumstance. We would think in our day and time, a fever, that's no great thing. It's certainly something that is common. We've all had fevers from time to time when we've been sick. Take notice of the one sick. A near relative of Peter's. The Lord had a particular care and kindness to the families of His people. His people especially. But we might say that He was compassionate to many. To most that came to Him, He was compassionate of and healed their sicknesses, their diseases. But there are four things that we want to note here concerning this circumstance. The first one is that Peter had a wife. Yes, Peter. Peter had a wife. And yet was called to be an apostle. And Christ favored him by being kind to his wife's mother, to his mother-in-law. Is there any significance in this? Well, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy in chapter 4. And we'd like to read there verses 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Those that forbid to marry. It is a seducing spirit. It is a doctrine of devils. And there are those who forbid to marry. But yet we see that Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, one of the first members of the Lord's church, was married. He had a wife. Secondly, we want to note that Peter and Andrew, which were brothers of the same family, were from the city of Bethsaida, had a house in Capernaum. This is where they were. This is where Jesus was dwelling, on the sea coast of the Sea of Galilee in Capernaum. And they entered in to Peter's house, our text says. But as we know, it was Peter and Andrew's house. Now it is probable that they moved their residence from Bethsaida to Capernaum to be with the Lord Jesus Christ after He called them. Turn with me to the fourth chapter of Matthew and look at verse 13. It said, and Jesus, leaving Nazareth, He came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Jesus left Galilee, Nazareth of Galilee, and still in Galilee, dwelt in Capernaum. And so we find that Peter and Andrew have a house in Capernaum. So it's obvious to us this morning that they moved from Bethsaida, probably to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Bethsaida was a far northern town on the coast of the Sea of Galilee, and it was on the northwestern corner. Now, Capernaum was along the seacoast of Sea of Galilee as well, but it was south of Bethsaida, and it was on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Would not have been a great distance between Bethsaida and Capernaum, but nonetheless, it would have been quite a distance, considering their main means of travel then was by foot. But the thing I want you to note is that sometimes we may be called upon to move where the Lord wants us to move to be with Him. Sometimes a church may disband in the area, in the locality which we live. And we may need to move or travel to a different area where there is a good, sound church that preaches the truth of God's Word that we can unite with and join with. Just as Peter and Andrew moved from Bethsaida to Capernaum. Why? To be near to the Lord. The third thing I want us to note is that Peter's mother-in-law resided with them. Did you catch that? Peter's mother-in-law was living in Peter and Andrew's house with her daughter and with her son-in-law, Peter. That's amazing, is it not? Peter's mother-in-law resided with them. We ought to be kind. Yes, we ought to be kind to our in-laws. We ought to be kind to family members. We ought to be kind to everyone, had we not? We ought to be kind and compassionate. Peter was kind enough that he allowed his mother-in-law, and nothing is said of whether she had her husband, whether her husband was deceased. Obviously, she had a husband at one time, but it's quite probable because she was living with Peter that he had deceased. But Peter took her in to their house, to a family setting, to be with them. Well, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're told, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Unto all men, and especially unto them of the household of faith. Now, we have no record of whether Peter's mother-in-law was saved or not. Quite possibly, she was saved. But the point is, Peter was kind whether she was saved or whether she wasn't. He was saved, kind unto his mother-in-law. And so we ought to be kind to our in-laws, to all of our family members. We ought to be kind to all that we come in contact with. And the fourth thing that we want to note here is that Peter's mother-in-law was sick with a great fever. A great fever, according to Luke chapter 4 and verse 38, which is another accounting of this instance and of Peter's mother-in-law's healing. And let's read verse 38 of Luke chapter 4. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever. And they besought him for her. Now our text in Matthew just said a fever. Where Luke shares with us that it was a great fever. That is, great, it was exceedingly great. It was a high fever. Well, we've experienced fevers, but how many of us have experienced high fevers? To where that almost delirious. This woman's life obviously was in peril because of this great fever. Now, what Luke records for us is not a contradiction to what Matthew records. What Matthew records is not a contradiction to what Luke records. It's just two different men recording the same event, but from a different standpoint and from a different point of view. Luke adds some extra detail. Maybe he added that extra detail that it was a great fever because he was a physician. He was a doctor, you see. The point is this morning that everyone is susceptible to disease. We've already in this chapter, we've had leprosy, which is an incurable disease. We might say that cancer is incurable. Palsy, which is a chronic disease. It's of long duration. And maybe eventually they succumb to it. And then there's a fever. Acute fever. So we're all susceptible to disease, and those that whether it's an incurable, whether it's a chronic, or whether it's an acute, they were all in need of Jesus Christ. They were all in need of Jesus Christ. Brings us to our second point this morning. Under this first one, the remedy. The remedy. So under the account, we have the circumstance. And now we have the remedy. She's cured. She's healed. It was done by a touch. He touched her hand. In kindness and tenderness, he touched her. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, is he not? In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, a verse that we know well. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Jesus spoke the word. You say, Matthew just says he touched her. Yes. Turn with me back to Luke chapter 4 in verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto him. He rebuked the word. We see, it was a word. Yes, it was a word of rebuke. He rebuked the fever. But oh, the power that is in his touch. And the power of his word. We want to, secondly, notice, how was it proved? She gave evidence. She gave proof that she was cured, that she had been healed. Well, how? Well, Luke chapter 4 tells us that the fever left her and immediately she arose and served them. Oh, the power of his touch. The power of his word. That immediately she arose and began to serve. Began to serve the moment she was healed. We see here mercy. Mercy is bestowed, for she was not deserving of this. She was deserving to be left continue in her suffering, as we are deserving to have been left in our condition of sin and misery. But it was mercy perfected. Mercy perfected. Those that have been sick with a fever, it leaves them in a weakened condition. As I said before, we've all been sick with a fever. And we know that we don't return to full strength immediately when the fever leaves. It sometimes takes a day or two before we would say we're back to 100% again. But the case of this woman shows a divine healing immediately. Immediately. She was healed and began to serve. Well, in this we see mercy, yes. But we see mercy sanctified. This was made obvious by her humility and her readiness, her eagerness to serve. To rise up from her bed of sickness and to begin to wait on those that were present in the house. You see, mercy that is sanctified is definitely mercy that has been perfected in us. So the second main point this morning we want to take from verses 16 and 17. Many, many are healed. Jesus worked. Most likely, this was the same day after he had delivered the Sermon on the Mount. After he'd had the leper come to him. And after he had started to go to the centurion's house to heal the one servant, child, sick of a palsy. But ended up doing it by proxy. And now he comes to Peter's house and enters in there, and Peter's mother-in-law sick with a great fever. And he heals her. Now in verses 16 we have many that are coming to him. Many who, verse 16 says, possessed with devils needing to be healed. Luke gives us a rendition that there were many that were sick that came and he healed them, as well as those that had possession of devils. He cast out the demons. He cast out the evil spirits that were afflicting them. This he did by the power of his word. According to our text in verse 16, when the even was come, I mean, this is at the end of a long, hard day. Surely Jesus had to have been weary. But when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Yes, again, with the power of his word. He healed all that were sick and that came to him. 2 weeks ago, we made mention of the fact that those that were sick, those that knew they needed help, came to Him to be healed. You see, when you don't think there's anything wrong, you don't seek out a doctor. When I don't think there's anything wrong, I don't seek out a doctor. In fact, maybe at the first onset of something might be wrong, I don't seek out a doctor. I might have to be pretty sick. And then I realize, I need a doctor. Jesus said in the book of Mark, chapter 2 and verse 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, here he tells us that sinners are sick. And who is it that is going to come to Him in repentance? Those who know that they're sick. Those who know that they're dead in sins and trespasses. They need one to heal them. So Jesus said, He came to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners. Sinners to repentance. And so He said in the book of John, chapter 6 and verse 37, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to Jesus Christ today in repentance and faith? He'll not cast thee out. Have you realized the sickness of your soul that is steeped in sin, and that sin is against God, and you stand in need of Jesus Christ and His substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary, thus providing redemption for your soul? Verse 17 of our text says that this was so that Scripture might be fulfilled. This great healing, this casting out of many possessed with the devils and the healing of all that were sick that came to Him, was so that Scripture might be fulfilled. Listen, Jesus came to do the will of the Father. And to do it, He came. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 5 and verse 30. John 5 and verse 30. And we read here, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. You see, Jesus said He sought the will of His Father which sent Him. He said in the book of John in chapter 4, He said, my necessary food, my meat, is to do the will of the Father. He said in the book of John in chapter 8 and verse 29, He said, I do always those things which please my Father. You see, all this was according to thus saith the Lord. Jesus was all about fulfilling the word of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 22, we read, now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, And they shall call his name Emmanuel, was being interpreted as God with us. It was a fulfilling of Scripture. It was a fulfilling of the Word of God. Chapter 2 and verse 15. When he had gone into Egypt, his parents had taken him into Egypt, and he remained there in Egypt. In verse 15 it says, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. In verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. In chapter 4 and verse 14, concerning him dwelling in Capernaum, going to Capernaum and dwelling there in Capernaum in the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet had prophesied of that. Turn with me to chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 15. And we read, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my son is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall not be he quenched, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. You see, a prophecy of Scripture, we would say, it was the Word of the Lord. And Jesus was concerned about doing the Word of the Lord, fulfilling the Word of the Lord. That was the ministry of his life. Yes, Jesus came to fulfill, to magnify the law, to magnify the Word of God. So we were told in chapter 5, in verses 17 and 18, think not that I am come to destroy the law, the word of God, or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. He, Jesus Christ, is the Word, and he cannot go against himself. John 1:1 tells us he is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The reference here of this prophetic verse in our text is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah, in chapter 53, in verse 4. We read in the Word of God, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yea, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And our text tells us he cast out those that were possessed with devils and healed many sick, that this passage of Scripture might be fulfilled. Yes, he himself, not another, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God,
took upon himself voluntarily, freely, as one would lift a burden, and placing it on his shoulders,
he did our infirmities. He bore our weaknesses. He bore them away. Of the body, that which causes pain, both of soul and of body. We see that is evident here in our text. These that were sick, they were afflicted physically. And yes, it is a type of spiritual affliction. But note this morning that these were afflicted physically. Sometimes we're afflicted physically. And he bore our sicknesses away. He heals our sicknesses. He carries them away. Christ bore away sickness by healing them of their sickness. Christ bore away our sin by his death on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 24. We read here, who his own self, that is Jesus Christ, his own self, bare our sins, bore away our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. In closing, two passages of Scripture. Acts chapter 13, verse 38, said, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things. Them that believe, them that repent of their sins toward God and have faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I ask you this morning, do you have the forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus? That is, have you come to the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith? Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you and praise you that there is forgiveness with Jesus Christ, and only through him. For he said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this forgiveness so full, so free. It was your grace and your mercy upon us. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that this morning those who have heard the word that have not yet come to Christ might come to him through repentance and faith. Faith in his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.